Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vosken. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vosken provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vosken, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, Christmas week edition of The Next Step, episode number 289 or 17 squared, whichever one you feel like it, because today is a day of feely-touchy day. It is just before Christmas, we're getting ready to take the next step. About life and love, about spirituality, well, we're taking a step into Armenodoxy, and we invite you to join along. Podcast that is being brought to you by the cool folks at epostle.net as part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. If you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. What a beautiful week it has been, especially here at In His Shoes Ministries. You know, 10 years ago, 2003, that's when we started this whole thing. You know, we started off with this very basic premise. How do you answer evil? Do you hit it back with more evil? Do you compound it with more evil? Or do you take the opportunity and start shifting it, shifting the emphasis, taking a little look in a different direction and saying, you know what? It has to stop someplace. And that's what we did 10 years ago. It was a group of kids. We got together and they came up with it. Okay, what does it mean to be an Armenian Christian today? Well, an Armenian Christian, you know, comes in with a lot of baggage. These are basically these are the inheritors of genocide. Okay, like it or not, it's part of the lexicon in the Armenian dictionary. You got to know what genocide is. After all, 1.5 million people were slaughtered. Okay, that comes as part of the baggage. Now, how do you answer that? Yeah, there's a few ways. You can go out there and you could annihilate another 1.5 million and say tit for tat. You can say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Or you can take the higher ground and say, you know what, I'm going to hit evil with good. I'm going to repay evil with love, with kindness. And that's what this group of young people did. And they formed the In His Shoes Ministries, saying that, you know what, it's time for us to start walking in the shoes of others. And sure enough, this week, what a week it has been here in Glendale, as well as I'm hearing from other places too. People are picking up the example and doing it. Let's repay evil with goodness. Let's repay hate with love. Oh, yeah, and it has been a wild week here in Glendale. We're right in the middle of a toy drive, and beyond expectation, last night we did the first round of collections, over, I think, close to 600 pieces. Toys, just the most funnest things. I'm just, like, sitting there looking at it like, whoa, I wouldn't mind having one of these toys. I wouldn't mind, you know, putting my hands on one of these erector sets. Incredible. You remember the old erector sets with the screws and the metals? Well, now it's in plastic, and you've got all kinds of dials and whistles and even propellers. Yes! buttons that twirl around, that take you up in the air. Oh, it's cool. I was having fun under the tree. There was like so much work to do, and I'm just like looking at all the toys because we had an incredible group of people. All came together last night and started packaging and putting them out there. And actually, as I am recording, probably in about an hour, I'm going to take a little break and join the people. We're going to be taking the first group of toys out to one of the shelters that we service. These toys are being collected for children of domestic violence. Now, these are children that usually don't get looked at. In fact, these are children that will probably never have a decent Christmas had it not been for these toys. I don't want to say the toys make it decent, but it sure softens some of the blows that they've had to witness. Now, these are kids that we discovered. If you remember a few, couple years ago when Inishu said, okay, let's start a project. And now it's been named the Dativ Outreach, but basically let's look at the situation of domestic violence. And all of a sudden we noticed that, you know, yeah, sure. Domestic violence is about individuals, about the hatred, about the anger between these people. But then there are the innocent bystanders of all this. And those are the children of domestic violence, who sort of get overlooked, because domestic violence, when you start talking about it, it's about the parents, it's about the people in the relationship. And all of a sudden we started noticing that, hey, there's like these little kids and these people are being overlooked. So what we did is we started thinking about foster parenting, we started the discussion and the dialogue about adoption, and we're still in the very embryonic situation right now. We're right at the beginning of the movement of Dativ Outreach, but it is coming along and it is very promising. One of the big programs that we do here in Glendale at our church at St. Peter's through In His Shoes has been this toy drive, and we extended it now out to Dativ Outreach. And I'm very pleased to say that the first round of toys, like we got over, like I said, 600 toys, and probably going to be doubling that over the weekend. So just imagine, these are children that would otherwise not see this on Christmas morning. The shelter we're going to be taking to in about an hour, we're going to be out in Burbank. About 250 families are being serviced by that shelter. Now, you know, Jesus talks about what he'd like for Christmas. And doesn't that make sense? I mean, it's his birthday. We should give him the gift that he wants. And he said, if you want to give me a gift, here it is. Do for people who can't do back to you. Very plain and simple. Yes, that's in Luke. Luke the evangelist recorded it. Jesus said it. It's got to be true. It's his wish list for Christmas. He says, when you give something, give that gift to somebody who has absolutely no way to pay it back. Hey, what did God give us? God gave us the greatest gift, right? He gave us Jesus Christ. Do we have a way to pay it back? You have no way. What are you going to do? Send money up to God? What are you going to do? Build a big building and say, hey, look at this. This is a cool looking church, you know. It's got a gold dome. It's got a big cross over there. Hey, God, we're waving to you, you know. God doesn't want that. He tells you what he wants. He says, do it for people who cannot give back. Help my brothers and my sisters. Help my children throughout the world. And there we are, doing a small little thing. I know it's not the end all, right? Obviously, these are just some toys, right? It's not ending everything, right? But it is a small little gesture, and I think it goes a long way. At least there's a few people, a few children, that are going to wake up with some smiles. Sure, a few hundred children. But you know what? It's a few hundred more than would have had we not taken this step. And it's those small steps that we need to take. Anyway, thank you all of you who have been listening and supporting this toy drive, because we did get some toys from Amazon, from the distant people. I appreciate that very much. And just know, be sure that every toy is going to be distributed in time for Christmas. Now, what are we going to talk about today? I got so many things going on in my head. Yeah, little head, a lot of things, okay? last Sunday, I was at Costa Mesa at the St. Mary Armenian Church over there, and I celebrated the Divine Liturgy, gave the sermon. We talked about the 100th anniversary upcoming and spread the news, the message that, you know, it's not all about the ancient history. It's about what we're doing today. It's basically the In Issues message that we're getting out there. It's great to see some of you out there in Costa Mesa, and probably the next one's going to be out of the area, out of Southern California. I believe it's going to be in Northern California coming up in January. I still got to check out the schedules and make everything up. But that was a really an exciting venture, going out to Costa Mesa. Okay, it's beautiful over there. It's like the beach. It's Newport Beach. It's like pretty extravagant living too, you know. Anyway, that being said, of course, it's been a very hectic week with all the work that we're doing with the toy drive, but things are clearing up in a nice way. This Sunday, we're going to be going Christmas caroling, and we're going to be put the last of the toys together. So we have a little bit of fun in between. And what I want to share with you today are going to be two topics. One of them, of course, is the winter solstice. Now, you know that's coming up in a couple days. And you know that that is the shortest day of the year here in the Northern Hemisphere. But now we've got people who are listening down under. So, it is the longest day of the year in the Southern Hemisphere. Now, what excitement could there be in all of this for me? Well, I'm a solstice fan, you know that. We're going to be talking a little bit about the solstice and an incredible phenomena that's happening in my life. Because my son is going to be traveling from Argentina back home on that day. So check this out. He's going to be leaving the longest day of the year, coming to the shortest day of the year. All within the course of a few hours, right? Through the modern convenience of jet travel, he's going to be traveling between the Southern Hemisphere and the Northern Hemisphere. But I'm going to put that all in context in a little bit. Right now, what I want to talk about, what I want to kick this off with, is a Christmas message of a different kind, okay? I know, you're expecting the Christmas message, you know, the stable scene and and the shepherds in the field. And, you know, I've done all that in the past, and I've told you how I feel about that. It's not about getting those facts in your head as much as it is having that Lord, that baby Jesus being born in your life. And what does that mean? Having love being born in your life. But today, the different kind of message I want to talk about is actually something that was phenomenal. It was phenomenal in my life. Now, I want to share it with you because last night, as I was preparing for the Bible study, it occurred to me. Cease fire. Did you know that there's cease fires? Oh, it's a wild idea. But people stop from their wars on Christmas Day. Yeah. In other words, today, you're my enemy. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to try to shoot you. And likewise, you're going to try to shoot me. But on Christmas Day, we take a ceasefire. Now, this is true. This happens. Actually, it occurred to me last night as I was preparing the Bible study. I remember growing up in the Vietnam era. Vietnam War was going on. I remember they used to talk about ceasefire on Christmas Day. And it was kind of, it's a beautiful thing, of course. But you kind of start thinking like, okay, well, what's the deal? Why shouldn't I have a ceasefire today? 2 days earlier? How about 3 days earlier? How about if I just put down my weapons, right? I'm going to be talking about that. And as an intro to that, how about the song of the day? It's a fun little song, but it fits right in there. Actually, you're going to get another song of the day a little bit later on, okay? But this one's a kind of a fun one. It has to do with Christmas. It has to do with a funny-looking dog with a big nose. Yes, our friend Snoopy and the Red Baron.
In the First World War, the bloody Red Baron was flying once more. The Allied command ignored all of its men and called on Snoopy to do it again. It was the night before Christmas, 40 below, when Snoopy went up in search of his foe. Despite the Red Baron, fiercely they fought. With ice on his wings, Snoopy knew he was caught.
us, mein friend.
The Baron then offered a holiday toast, and Snoopy, our hero, saluted his host. And then with a roar, they were both on their way, each knowing they'd meet on some other day.
Snoopy and the Red Baron on Christmas. Put everything down, and that's what we're going to be talking about. It was the First World War when this idea of ceasefire came out. And I think it's an interesting, it's definitely more than interesting. It's something that we've got to, as Christians, have to start thinking about in terms of if it can be done for a few days during a war, can we do this on a regular basis? So I did some research last night, and lo and behold, found out it took place in the First World War, the first ceasefires on Christmas Day. And basically, the Germans and the United Kingdom, the British troops, they were in their trenches and they put down their arms. Let me read a little bit of this. This is off of a Wikipedia post. The Christmas Truce was a series of widespread unofficial ceasefires that took place along the Western Front around Christmas 1914 during World War I. Through the week leading up to Christmas, parties of German and British soldiers began to exchange seasonal greetings and songs between their trenches. On occasion, the tension was reduced to the point that individuals would walk across to talk to their opposite number bearing gifts. Isn't that cute? I love it. On Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, many soldiers from both sides, as well as to a lesser degree from French units, independently ventured into no man's land, where they mingled, exchanged food and souvenirs, as well as joint burial ceremonies. Several meetings ended in Christmas carol singing. Troops from both sides were also friendly enough to play games of soccer with one another. Now, these are people that are shooting at each other, okay? These are people whose job it is to kill the other person. But on Christmas, what happens? Cease fire. The truce is often seen as a symbolic moment of peace and humanity amidst one of the most violent events of modern history. It was not ubiquitous. In some regions of the front, fighting continued throughout the day, while in others, little more than an arrangement to recover bodies was made. In other words, they'd go over and pick up the bodies that were killed. That's very interesting, huh? Okay, your enemy's going to come right in front of you. You can kill him, but you don't because you have that reverence for life, right? Which is the body, the dead body, and you're allowing them to take it away. The following year, a few units again arranged ceasefires with their opponents over Christmas, but the truces were not nearly as widespread as in 1914. This was in part due to strongly worded orders from the high commands of both sides prohibiting such fraternization. 1916, after the unprecedented bloody battles of Somme and Verdun, the beginning of widespread poison gas use, soldiers on both sides increasingly viewed the other side as less than human, and no more Christmas truces were sought. So the orders up from high above, the war wins out, right? They're no longer human. Dehumanize them! Now we can kill them, right? Let me read a little bit from another portion of the post. Though there was no official truce, roughly 100,000 British and German troops were involved in unofficial cessations of fighting along the length of the Western Front. The first truce started on Christmas Eve, 24 December 1914, when German troops began decorating the area around their trenches in the region in Ypres. I believe that's how you pronounce it, Ypres, Belgium. and particularly in St. Yves, where Captain Bruce Bain's father described the truce. The Germans began by placing candles on their trenches and on Christmas trees, then continued the celebration by singing Christmas carols. The British responded by singing Christmas carols of their own. The two sides continued by shouting Christmas greetings to each other. Soon thereafter, there were excursions across no man's land, where small gifts were exchanged, such as food, tobacco, and alcohol, and souvenirs, such as buttons and hats. The artillery in the region fell silent. The truce also allowed a breathing spell, where recently killed soldiers can be brought back before or behind their lines by burial parties. Joint services were held. The fraternization carried risks. Some soldiers were shot by opposing forces. In many sectors, the truce lasted through Christmas night, but it continued until New Year's Day in others. So what's the bottom line on all this? You know, I do remember it growing up in Vietnam War. I remember they talked about ceasefires. So I did a little bit more research on it, and apparently since World War One, it has continued in other wars. If you look at Christmas ceasefires, you find out that it was true during the Korean War, during the Vietnam War, and it continues actually until today. Check this out. This isn't a statement. This is Dateline December 18th, 2013. This is a couple days ago. Yesterday, actually. Manila, Philippines. Philippine communist rebels. Communist rebels. Check that out. On Wednesday, announced a ceasefire to celebrate Christmas and the 45th founding anniversary of their parties. Okay, interesting. Communists that are celebrating Christmas. In a statement that outlawed Communist Party of the Philippines directed to the New People's Army to be vigilant against attacks by security forces during the December 24th, 26th, December 31, January 2 ceasefires. So what do we have here? Well, what we have is the war is over if you want it. Whose hands are these things in? Whose hands are pain in? It's in our hands. It's our doing. And really, you know, it's remarkable to me because we always find this way of dumping everything on God. And this is particularly true during Christmas season, right? Because during Christmas, we see the good and the bad in people. We see the good in people, and we see the bad in the world, and we see the incongruity. And we start saying, what kind of God is this? What kind of God would allow all this to happen? Well, it's a God that allows goodness to happen and certainly allows evil to happen. But it's really the goodness and evil that comes from us. We're the ones responsible, whether it's a toy drive in doing the good or whether it's an evil of perpetuating war. If you can put down your weapons on December 24th and 25th, how about trying it on the 23rd? How about trying it on the 22nd? How about continuing on the 26th, 27th? And guess what? If you can put down those weapons, you can imagine peace. Imagine no war. Imagine that. The war is over. How? If you want it.
So this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over. And you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas.
Let's hope it's a good one. strong. The rich and the poor ones. The road is so long. And so happy Christmas.
War is over if you want it. War is over. Now think about that. We're talking on grand scales about war. Think about what's coming up in your life. Whose hand is your life in? Who controls your wars? Who controls the difficulties that you go through? Is it in someone else's hand, or is it time for you to put down those weapons? Is it time for you to say enough hatred against hatred? Let's start answering that hatred with love, with compassion, with goodness. Cease fire. If I could do it for December 25th, I could do it for the 24th. If I could do it for the 24th, I could do it for the 26th. If I could do 26, 23, and how about 27? Okay, how about for the month of December? How about if I died for November and January? How about if I just live in peace? And it takes us to start thinking about these things, imagining that peace. And it begins with each of us starting that ceasefire in our lives. Yeah, we're just fighting away. We're struggling away. We call it, we have all kinds of names for it, right? Stress. I say, oh, the greed, you know. Look at Pope Francis. What did he do last month? And he's been on everybody's lips lately. Well, even Barbara Walters. Oh, the Pope. Yeah, we got to talk about Pope Francis. Everyone's looking over at Pope Francis. And what is he doing? He's saying, hey, it's not about all this, about all this doctrine and dogma. It's very easy. The war is over. If you want it, put it down. And he's talking about the wars that we're having in our world, about the greed that we have, this obsession of getting richer and richer. And he's saying the war is over if you want it. It's so easy. And yet it's so difficult. It's easy in the sense that we could conceptualize it, and it's difficult to put it in reality. Whether it's ourselves and the wars that we have with ourselves, the difficulties that we have with ourselves, or on a grand scale, the wars that we have in this world. And because it is difficult, sometimes we call it a dream. You know, we conceptualize it and we say, well, that's just a dream. It's pie in the sky. It can't really happen. In fact, there's a really good video I saw this morning. It's about Levon. Have you seen that? This guy who roller skates through the streets of Yerevan. Let me make a note over here and put a YouTube link to it. It's a cute little video. But he talks about dreaming, and he talks about why you shouldn't dream. He's a nice guy, and he sounds like he's a very realist. He does a lot of practical, cool things. Definitely check out this video. But he talks about not dreaming, because dreaming is sort of the sign of the weak. But to me, dreaming is where all of our possibilities exist. Because in reality, you look around and you're overwhelmed with the difficulties, with all the failures, with all the darkness that's out there. In the dreams, we see the light and we see the potential that's out there. So keep dreaming. And as you're dreaming, make those dreams into reality. I say this because, of course, next week, it's the new year. It's just a convenient time, I know. It's just a date, right? It's just a date that's out there, January 1st. But it is convenient for all kinds of opportunities to renew, right? Weight loss, cigarette cessation, giving up booze, giving up the extra little perks in your life that have become habits and overwhelming, consuming your life. But how about this? If you take advantage of the opportunity that New Year brings, the opportunity to start brand new and start looking at opportunities, ways to put down the weapons, to say there's a ceasefire in the guilt that I'm putting on myself, in the unforgiving attitude that I have toward myself and others. How about if it's a ceasefire, putting down some of those awful things that prevent you from finding peace in your life? You know what they are. They're just as real in your life as that gun is for that man in the trench, for that German soldier standing there who said, hey, it's Christmas Eve, I'm putting down this weapon, as it was for the Red Baron who had Snoopy dead in his sight. And then he just put it down and he said, the Christmas bells are beautiful. I'm putting down my weapon. Merry Christmas, my friend. And the same way to one another and to ourselves. Give ourselves a break. Merry Christmas. It has to mean something. And so here's an opportunity for you. As you're making your New Year's resolutions, I'm not waiting for New Year's to say this because usually that's what we do. Oh, what am I going to do? Tomorrow's New Year's. Oh, got to do something, right? Been gaining 5 pounds a year for the past 10 years. Yeah, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year. I'm going to do it. Oh, I've been smoking a pack a day, turned into 2 packs a day. I'm at 3 packs a day right now. I'm going to give up smoking right now. Yep, January 1st, there it is. So I'm just going to be eating and smoking all I want today because tomorrow's New Year's. No, give yourself a break. Put it in perspective. Make it realistic. Take some time. Organize your thoughts. What do I want to do? Well, how about putting down the weapons? How about stopping the wars? Oh yeah, I dream about the big wars. How about if we all just brought it down to a chess game between the leaders of two civilized nations? The operative word civilization doesn't click, doesn't jive with too many of these countries, right? But wouldn't that be beautiful? Are there other ways of resolving conflict besides turning to weapons? Besides turning to the gun? Besides saying an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? Besides saying the sword, I live by the sword and therefore I'm going to die by the sword? Sure, that's on a big scale. How about on a small scale for my life? How about putting down those swords, putting down those weapons, and saying, you know, I'm going to give myself a break. You know what? I'm a person. I'm a human being. I have some difficulties in my life, but you know what? God loves me. He poked me in the stomach and he said, you're okay. I made it. And now I need to put down those weapons. If he found me worthy enough to accept his son, Jesus Christ, on Christmas morning, I have to find it worthy in my heart to accept others. Christmas morning, the day after, and the day after, into the new year, into a new life. Give it a shot. That's my Christmas wish for you. Now, before there was Christmas,
of the year, when there is the clan song that you hear, 7 days blue the seventh time, have the lads of bread in a line. Bring out these bells, trying to gather thee the mistletoe. By the holy oak whereon it grows, seven druids dance a seventh time. Sing the sound of bells, call and the chime. As the silver planets run, seven days move a seventh time. Sing the sound of bells, call out the chime. Ring out these bells. Ring out, ring souls.
Talking about Christmas, you know, before Christmas there was the solstice, one of my favorite celebrations. It is the solstice of the year. Now guess what happened back in the 4th century? Yes, a way long time ago, there was a king, an emperor named Constantine, who said, you know, the people of my land are worshiping the sun. Well, guess what? On the summer solstice, the days start getting shorter in June. In December, at the winter solstice, the days start getting longer. Of course, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, and by the way, most of the world was in the Northern Hemisphere when all of our traditions as Western civilization were drawn out. Okay, so most of these people are living here and they're saying, we notice that the days are starting to get longer. What does this mean? Well, it is the birth of the sun, S-U-N, sun. Of course, days are getting warmer and we celebrate that warmness. So there was traditions where people would celebrate the winter solstice. In other words, the birth of the sun, the days getting longer. And this feast took place right around December 25th, actually December 21st. Like I told you, I'm excited because the actual solstice is the 21st, 22nd. And on that day, it is the shortest day of the year here in the Northern Hemisphere, and it is the longest for all of you listeners out there in the Southern Hemisphere. And you know who you are. I just love you guys out there. I want to come and visit you in the new year, by the way. That's going to be one of my dreams for the new year. I'm going to make it happen one way or another. We're going to make it happen, okay? So in the Southern Hemisphere, it's the longest day of the year, okay? Now, what happens for me, very special, is my son, Vodrjan, he's going to be traveling from Buenos Aires to Los Angeles. He's going to be going over the equator right on that day, on the solstice. So he's going from the longest day of the year to the shortest day of the year. Phenomenal, right? Well, this is all exciting for us today, living in the 21st century, because we have the modern conveniences of flight. We have the ability to understand that these are cycles and these are astronomical anomalies, the way the Earth is turned on its axis, the way it spins around the sun and the orbit that it has around the sun. So there are times where it is closer, where it is warmer, it is cooler, and so on and so on. But to a people that were just very simple people and counting that, how many hours do I have in a day? How many minutes do I have in a day? How many things can I do in a day? And I noticed that my daytime is a little bit less. It is an exciting time of life, December 21st, 22nd, because now I get to do more things during the day. I remember one day I was standing in a village in Africa, in Rwanda, and we had just finished talking with a group of people over there, and all of a sudden we noticed that people were saying goodnight to us, and it was right about 7:30, 8 o'clock, maybe a little bit later, and it occurred to me that, hey, it's a little bit early, but of course, if you don't have electricity, if you don't have means of seeing one another, this is the natural time you go to sleep. And so it was. You look forward to the natural ways of getting a little bit of sunlight. So these people were celebrating the sunlight, the birth of the sun. Now Emperor Constantine said, hey, hold on. This winter solstice is a cool feast, but we've got to get people to start believing in Jesus. Now, the celebration of Jesus' birth, the birth of the sun, S-O-N, sun, was on January 6th. It always was. This was the day that they celebrated not only the nativity, the birth of Jesus, but they also celebrated his baptism. And many pilgrims would go from one place to the other. Some pilgrims would be at Bethlehem to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Others would be at the River Jordan to celebrate his baptism. And so Constantine said, hey, you know what? Why don't we separate these two feasts? And also get people to start focusing in on Jesus. And so in the 4th century, the date of Christmas was changed from January 6th to December 25th. And they said that this would coincide with the winter solstice, giving people an opportunity to celebrate not the birth of the S-U-N sun, but the birth of the S-O-N sun, the Son of God. And we could tie it up very nicely by saying, you know, the S-O-N sun gives you warmth too, gives you spiritual peace. And they did a really nice job of that. And here's the extra added bonus. There is 12 days of Christmas between December 25th and January 6th. Yes, you know the song on the first day of Christmas and the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, right? But there was also a convenience factor in this. It was convenient between these 2 days because pilgrims would be able to walk from Bethlehem to the River Jordan. In other words, pilgrims would be able to make their vows at the site of Jesus' birth and 12 days later appear at the place where Jesus was baptized. So it made it very convenient too. And hence you got two dates for Christmas. January 6th, which by the way, the Armenian Church, till this day, regards as the nativity of Christ. Now why? Well, because in Armenia, despite what Constantine did, and there was no, of course, internet. In fact, there was no newspaper. There was no Pony Express, no radio, there was no TV. In fact, news traveled pretty slowly. But also, despite that, in Armenia, there weren't too many people who were celebrating this particular god, the god of the sun. They were worshiping other things, and of course, Zoroastrianism, there was all kinds of other stuff going on. But there was no need to change the date in Armenia, as Constantine felt he needed to change in the big Roman Empire. And so, the date never changed. And until today, we celebrate January 6th as the date of Christmas, as the date of his baptism. the question always comes up, when should we celebrate? And I asked my Bible study, when should we celebrate? And of course, my Bible study, having been with me for a few years now, turned to me and said, every day. And they looked at me like, okay, Father Voskin, we know what the answer is, every day. And I said, absolutely, you got to celebrate every day. Every day is a Christmas feast. You got to make Jesus born in your life every single day. But here's the catcher to it, okay? And here's where it all comes together. Every day is a day that you put down your guns. Every day is a day that you don't fight the war. Every day is a day that you spread the love and the peace that the Christ child puts into your heart. That, in fact, is the message of Christmas.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain.
Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
You know, what we're doing here at epostle.net is really something very unique, very special. It is something that I take a lot of pride in, and it's not the boastful pride. It's the real sincere pride of being able to kick back and at night put your head on the pillow and say, you know what? There is an accomplishment here. It's not just a church that's building buildings. In fact, if you come and see our site at Epostle Studios, it's a small little place in the middle of Glendale, but it's doing some incredible work. It's reaching out to the poor. It's doing the mission of God. Now, you can become a part of that by, as Susie said, click on the donate button. As Susie said, send in a donation. But really, become a part of it by praying for us. Keep Epostle in your prayers. Keep me in your prayers. Keep Susie in your prayers. Keep the entire Epostle family in your prayers. This is Christmas time. It's an opportunity for you to really clear out a lot of stuff in your head. It's an opportunity for you to come to terms with your own realities. If you find this ministry a worthwhile ministry, something that you want to get involved with, please drop us a line. Tell us how you want to get involved. Make sure that you forward our feeds. Make sure you post us on Facebook. Let others know about the message that's coming out of Epostle, about In His Shoes. We're all in this together. We pray for you, and I ask for your prayers for this ministry. I want to wish you all a very special Christmas. By the time we get together, it'll be the day after Christmas next week. I want to wish you all the best that the Christ child brings to your life. I had a priest that it was one very special to me. We served together for 15 years here in Southern California. He passed away a couple of years ago. His name was Father Kurken Muradyan. He was the abbot father at Khorvirab, the place where St. Gregory was imprisoned for 13 years. And actually, Father Kurken was the abbot father there for 13 years during the 1970s and 1980s. Very difficult times in Armenia under the Soviet regime, and yet he was the abbot father and kept things going. And here in America, he came and served with me. And I remember on Christmas and Christmas Eve, we'd share giving the sermons and share in celebrating the liturgy together. And I always looked up to him as a senior priest. And he one night gave such a beautiful sermon on Christmas Eve. He said, "Is there anything more tender than the neck of a small baby born? You look at the small baby and you take your nose and you shove it into those crevices underneath his chin. You know, that little area where all the milk and the sweat and the throw up, it's just all there. But and as gross as that might sound on a human level, when the child is doing it, there's nothing sweeter than that smell." And he'd create this incredible imagery for us on Christmas Eve and challenge us to really engage in the Christ child, with the Christ child at that level, to smell, to engage, to touch, to be with that Christ child in every aspect of life. From that Christ child comes peace. From that Christ child comes flavor. From that Christ child comes life for our lives. Enjoy it. Merry Christmas to all of you. I invite you to get involved with us throughout the week, and especially during this Christmas week. You'll find us at epostle.net. Very easy to remember, apostle with an E. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. And of course, we're on Facebook. You can follow all of us, whether it's Susie, myself, Ken, Linda, Anush, we're all there, okay? And of course, we have got all kinds of podcasts coming for you throughout the week. Please join us at all of the usual spots. And of course, at the mothership inhisshoes.org and dotheadoutreach.org. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Ken, our engineer, for Susie, our producer, for Vahir, our webman, for the wonderful people behind the scenes praying for us, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. Merry Christmas.
Everybody's ringing on their own bell this fine morning. Hope everyone's connected to that long distance phone. Old man is a mountain. Old man is an island. Old man is awaking, says I'm gonna call. Call all my children home. Everybody's dancing to their own drum this fine morning. The beat of distant Africa or a Polish factory town. Old man is calling for his supper. He's calling for his whiskey. Calling for his sons and daughters. Yeah. Calling, calling all his children round. Tuned in to the drones and chandras warming, yeah. Mist blowing round some headlands somewhere in your memory. Everyone is from somewhere, even if you've never been there. So take a minute to remember the part of you that might be the old man calling me. Thank you. How many wars you fighting out there this Christmas morning? Yeah. Maybe there's always time for another Christmas song. Old man, he's asleep now. He's got appointments to keep now. Dreaming of his sons and daughters. Proving that the blood is strong.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I'd like to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.